relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion. This is a show all about love, sex, and relationships. I'm Dr. Lori Batito, psychologist with a specialty in sexuality. Once a month, we focus on, the different ways that people express their passion for sex. It's alternative sexuality. It's a regular feature. You can ask your questions about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or
kink,
all kink, just kinky sex. And my guests are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. They run a website which is probably the most comprehensive website on the subject. They have over 1,000 pages of information on that. So, they are the experts in my books, so here they are.
Thank you for what a great introduction.
Well,
thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
To me, you're the professional kink people, right? That's what you are.
We're not professional. We're kinkster. I mean,
you're kinksters. That's a word, kinkster.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so.
So you are kinksters. Yes, you're in your everyday life. You are ordinary folk having just regular jobs. It's not an insult to call you regularly.
We seem pretty damn normal to be kinksters.
Well,
in a real
normal,
nice way that you're saying that.
Because normal is not a word I like.
Well, we could just be the girl and guy next door.
Yes, that's a better way of putting it. If you saw Pierre and Catherine, that you don't know that they practice kink inside their four walls or
no, I mean you can
else.
Look at me and tell that there's all that charisma and everything, but
okay, but you know, lots of people with charisma,
maybe
out there
a little bit of ego,
who don't practice kink. But that brings me to a question or something I want to talk about, because we were talking about it off air, and the whole notion of secrecy and who knows that you do what you do, who should know, who cares even. These are all, but I guess a little bit different because you guys are in the public. So you're on radio. You've done shows like Kink. So you've been featured in documentaries about Kink. So obviously in your day jobs, people have recognized you.
Yes, we're out there. We're out there.
Yes.
But that's the way we are. It's probably not the way it should be.
What does that
but,
mean?
But no, you know what? A lot of people know. And for me, they're actually usually a little bit more positive with me. Because, you know, they think of the kinky mistress. It kind of comes to them. And it's less, whereas when they think of Pierre and BDSM, and especially if they find out he's a dominant as well, then, some of them will look at like he's a beater.
Right.
And abuser.
Like he likes to inflict pain.
Well, like he's an abuser.
Right.
Well, he does like to inflict pain, but that's consensually.
That's besides the point. Right.
Right? But the consensual thing is the point, right? And so I tend to get a little bit of a better reaction than Pierre.
Okay.
But I mean, I was out at a few years ago with the radio with some of my hobbies and stuff. I'm in like a hobby group and people recognize me, and you know what, it is what it is. I mean, I hadn't just started, so you know, it's not like I'd been, you know, wearing inappropriate leather at least
to the meetings,
things like this,
right?
Or that I'm, you know, gotta talk in sex in the middle of a demonstration. So you know, they kind of get over it.
And that's the whole thing. We may be kinkster, but at work, I talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm with other people, I'm a musician, I go play music with other guys, we play music. We don't talk about sex. If we want to talk about sex, later on, now we have to play music, you know? So basically...
But people don't ask you questions at work when they find out what you do?
A lot of them are shy.
People ask me.
Well, because you're a woman. And what's helping me, or maybe not helping me, is because I'm not a small man, I had my share of problem, but you know what, between guys, basically you say, well, you don't give me a loan, I'm going to make you
make your life miserable.
I have a nosebleed, you know, it's like, this is how you fix things between men. But the thing is, I've got a lot of respect because I'm respected at work. And a lot of people don't understand that I could be like this. And it's like, yeah, so.
And it's a surprise.
So what about, I know you work in the public,
yep.
So you're a public servant, let's just say, right?
That's, yeah, we can say that. I'm a blue-collar guy.
Right. So what about your bosses? What about, is this something that has ever come into play that you've worried about?
They can't do anything. It's nothing we do that's illegal.
Right.
Everything's consensual. We certainly don't involve children in any way or anything like that, or, you know, so, you know, what they could do is make our lives miserable and fire us on some other thing that they drum up out of nowhere. But you can't be fired for being BDSM unless you've actually done a morality contract. And that's very rare nowadays, unless you're, let's say, on TV, or you're representing, or, you know, you're working for the Catholic Church in some way, like the Catholic School Board, right, or things like this.
Right.
You know.
But again, the whole issue of, unless you sign a morality clause, what does the again, what's immoral and what's...
Well, it's like if you're gay and you can't work for the Catholic Church.
Remember?
As a teacher, for instance.
Not right. That long ago.
It's the same... Same kind of thing. It comes in cases like that.
Mm-hmm. Not that long ago, people got fired because they were gay. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking 50 years ago now.
Right.
Now, we have quite a few friends that will work for the federal government in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And
who are kinksters?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. And not all of our friends who work at the government are kinksters, I might add. But there are some that are. And as long as they're not in the closet... It's no problem.
As long as they're not in the
exactly.
closet? You mean they have to tell?
They want, you know, so there's a point where, because they have to look at blackmailing. Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable enough that it's like, well, you know what? You want to blackmail me and tell my family or tell things or put it on paper? Well, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult and we're consenting and it's all good.
Yes, but you don't have to disclose this information to your work. This is what I'm trying to figure out in terms of, where's the line to keep this kind?
The line is that if you have an issue, at that point, you would need to close and come out of the closet.
So you would have to only disclose if there's an issue.
That's right. But okay. If somebody threatens you, you'd have to come out.
Right. Okay. If you're forced to come out, but you don't have to.
Well, the thing is, if you don't, then you can lose your job, because now you're, if you, like, you work in, let's say, a high security government job,
mm-hmm.
which
like CSIS,
I know people. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Like something like that. Then if you were threatened, you would have to come out.
Okay, I get
and
that.
And you would have to tell them about it if it's, but they ask you, it's part of the thing. They'll keep it confidential.
Thing?
It's the same as they want to know if you're gay. They want to know if you're at a certain security levels,
mm-hmm.
they want to know things that could potentially put you at risk so that you can't be blackmailed by it.
Oh. Okay, so you at that point you would disclose it in an interview before it ever gets
but exactly.
Aside of this, I would strongly suggest that what people don't know about you, it doesn't hurt them. You know, keep it secret if you can. It's often the best way to do it.
Well, it's not even so much secret; it's discreet. It's like, and you know what? I find sometimes people are actually offensive with their BDSM,
mm-hmm.
and by that, it's like, you know what? It's you don't need to put it in other people's faces. And I'm not talking about hiding and being ashamed of who you are or if it comes up in conversation. But it's one thing if, you know, you wear, let's say, a collar 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and you dress appropriately and you go into McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
where there's children and stuff. You know what? It's a fashion thing. Lots of people do it. No big deal. Okay, people might look at you a little odd or kind of wonder, but it's nothing that's going to, you know. But you shouldn't be taking somebody in there on a leash.
Right.
Because then... You know what? You're in their face and they're just trying to go to McDonald's.
And you have to start explaining that to potentially to the children.
Exactly.
So you're you're exposing.
Yep.
Right.
And so even if you're covered in whatever, you know, you shouldn't play when it's just kids around.
Mm-hmm. Pierre and Catherine join me tonight once a month. We focus on kink, on BDSM, on any alternative sexuality. We'd love to hear some of your thoughts. Or if you have questions, feel free. Tonight's the night, 514-790-0800 to call in. You can always text in at 514-800. If you're calling us long distance, it's 1-800-491-CJAD 2523. I think that's it, right? 491-CJD. I have to look at the phone to figure that one out. So if you have questions, give us a call. We'll continue our discussion on kink and alternative sexuality here on Passion. Torture you. Take my hand through the floor.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, we focus on kink or alternative sexuality. If you have questions about what it is to be kinky or to be a kinkster or to or to practice BDSM, or you want to know about it, you can certainly get in touch with us. 514-800 to text in, or 514-790-0800. Joining me, as they do every month, are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. It's a site that has lots of information, but also a place where people could meet other people who looking for partners.
Partners,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is a question we get asked often on this show, is where? How do I go about meeting somebody? Where do I find them?
And it's one of the favorite questions they ask us too.
On the site, right?
Yep. Go online.
Right. And on, I mean, these days, of course,
everything is on the internet.
Way back when you guys started, there was no internet. So it was a whole other way of trying to meet up.
All those innuendos.
Right. Montreal also has a huge fetish community. And I know we have a fetish week coming up.
The long weekend is
September.
In September.
Okay.
Is normally like the fetish weekend.
The big there's a fetish weekend, but there's another thing happened. I saw it on
Many people organize things now. The thing is, way back, they used to be maybe one or two places in Montreal, and you had to know how to get there or knew somebody there.
It was like a secret door. There wasn't a sign out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And it has changed a lot. When I first started, you would buy a specialized magazine and you would actually communicate through mail, what we call snail mail before. Right. You had to write a letter.
Imagine that.
Oh, yeah, I know. So.
I use telephone myself, but come on.
Doesn't it show how ancient we all are? Right, so there was other, of course, you had to use the slower way.
Okay, it was a telephone attached to a wall, but that's another story.
That's right. Oh, boy. So the thing we were talking about prior is the secrecy, or the maybe not secrecy, but discretion is a better word,
exactly.
Right? So keeping your kink life discreet, away from the public.
Well, like you want to keep your sex life. For most people, they don't. You know what? If you had oral sex or something the night before, it's nothing that's nobody's business.
Right.
And it's the same thing with kink. It's that unfortunately some people, when they discover it, are so excited and thrilled about their journey that they want to share with everybody.
Everybody.
And it's usually a mistake to tell Aunt Susie. Right? Now,
or grandma.
You know what? Right. There's a point where, you know, if it's really that big of a part of you and you feel like you need to come out, it's a little bit like some people feel the need to come out being gay and others don't. Mm-hmm. Others are happy with
but
it
I
being
think,
a...
But I think homosexuality or orientation is a huge part of your identity.
Well, for a lot of people, this is an orientation.
Right. So
to them.
This is what I'm saying. If it's such a huge part of your identity and it...
Exactly.
At which point, like how... I'm finding it difficult because it's not just behavior. For some, I know for some people, they behave, they have kinky sex occasionally. It's not, they don't identify necessarily as kinksters.
Yeah.
And so there's no, they don't feel the need to share it with anybody, like just with their partner. But then there are others who live a life of kink. Like you were talking about
and you could say the exact same thing about being gay.
There's some people that today.
Well, there's some people that will have gay experiences but don't really consider themselves mainly gay
I don't see those two at all in the
you
same
don't
way.
See them?
No, okay. not at all because there's different reasons for often keeping it, you know, not coming out, not disclosing, but it's a much I believe orientation is a much bigger part of one's identity than.
Well, it's not as easy to keep secret because you can be out in public with someone that you're a BDSM partner with that may or may not be with the same sex, but it's easier to keep it discreet usually, mm-hmm. You know.
I guess at one time we could equate those two just it's so different to, in my books today, because there's less taboo around being gay than about being kinky.
I am not sure about that.
I think it's more taboo to be kinky.
I'm not sure about that. No? Because now with the media and the kink being everywhere, we talked about this a lot on your show. You know, you open the TV, you see BDSM action, you see clothing, you
still
see...
Still not accepted, though.
Well...
Yeah, I agree. I still think it's taboo. Forget about... I think we're an accepting society more than, let's say, in the U.S. or what have you. So in our...
I think the only difference between people who are gay and people who are BDSM is about 20 years. Because when the people... 30. The gay people started to come out, it was the same thing. People would... We weren't accepting society, but a lot of people were not ready for that. Mm-hmm. Now it's part of the education. It's part of the value.
It's part of our everyday.
And it's a good thing.
Right.
But 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't that like this. Mm-hmm. And I think in 20 or 30 years down the line, BDSM is going to be the same thing.
Really?
More accepted for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look at that. We're talking about discretion, privacy. I want to get to talking about exposure, kids being exposed to this too. But this texter is very interesting. He says, nobody knows that I like golden showers except for me and my partners, and they never will. It's a private matter.
We agree.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Right. Nobody's business.
Right. And that goes for every fetish, unless you're out there within the fetish community, it would still be within a certain
community. Well, when it becomes a lifestyle.
Okay, so there's the difference between a behavior and a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's some people that will wear a collar 24/7.
And that's part of their identity.
Yep. Exactly. So
it's almost a behavior. So it's kind of, that line is getting very, very thin right now.
Well, this is what I'm trying to figure out, you know, because when the person, for example, who lives it every day, who wears a collar for a reason every single day and goes to visit grandma, is she going to take off her collar? He's going to take off his collar.
No.
Exactly. So it's part of their identity. And at that point, it's harder to be secretive about it if you're living it out in everyday life.
Well, that's it. And it's also harder to be discreet around children.
So what happens in that situation? Let's say, and I'm all for discretion around kids. Kids should not be exposed to adult sexuality or choices adults make.
More.
I think it's confusing for children. I think it requires a hell of a lot of explanations if you're going to, you know, and their minds are not cognitively developed enough to understand what
the nuances
we're putting there.
BDSM is a game for adults, and it should remain like this. Period.
They, you know what? When they're children, they don't even have to know this exists yet.
Right.
They will find out when they go on the internet.
This is the way my belief is this is the way they're wired. They're going to find it.
Right.
And not find your chest that's got your kinky stuff in. I'm not just talking about that. But they'll find their way if that's the way they're wired or built or whatever.
Well, scary enough, when the books 50 Shades of Grey came out, kids of 13, 14 were reading it. Girls were reading it.
But
and I knew a lot of young girls reading it.
Rather
like,
inappropriate
what?
To me.
But they probably didn't understand all the nuances of the book itself.
Fine, they don't, but they're getting a skewed version then.
Exactly.
That's the whole problem. That's like because now we have pornography exposure. Like kids are exposed at a very young age to pornography, which I'm sure involves a lot of kinky stuff too if punch in whatever word they want to put in there. So they're getting exposed to things they don't understand.
Well, that and you know what? It makes them, they find about it out as children. And when they're young adults... This is why they're more tendency to jump into it without negotiation, without learning about it and doing it very casually. And I'm not being judgmental on the, you know, commitment casual thing. I'm being judgmental on the preparation and safety casual thing. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you're old enough to play a choking game or you're old enough to play BDSM, you're old enough to talk about it first. Mm-hmm. And if it's too uncomfortable, then you're not grown up enough to do it.
Well, but the same can be said about sex, period. There's
exactly.
Will do it, but they don't talk about it.
Exactly. But, you know, for safety, you need to be able to talk about BDSM.
Because I have the chance to talk to a lot of people, if we talk about sex in general, if you look at 50, 60 years back, people were having sex young because there was nothing else to do. If you live in a small village, I mean, you would go in the pool hall at the time, or the hotel, this is how it was called, and you would get your first girlfriend, and then you would try things and forget about protection or anything like this because you didn't know anything about this.
Right. Where was the education? Right.
You know? And today the kids, they have more information with the internet. Actually, this is now a problem because they have too much information.
Right, right. So we went from nothing to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have the similar problem though. How to make sure that the kid do things safe? I mean, that's in general.
So let's give some tips to, let's say you're a parent and you're into kink. What do you recommend to, how should
you behave? A locked trunk or closet?
Locked.
Locked.
Paddle. How do you say
padlock?
This? Padlock. Thank
padlock.
You.
Padlock.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell the kids it's private.
Right.
You know, it's private in there. I'm allowed to have private things. And even if they know it might have something to do with sex, it doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with saying my sex life is private from you, my child.
That's right.
That's
right.
And from time to time, you send the kid to grandma for a weekend, and then you open the trunk. You know?
I don't recommend people have dungeons in their home. A lot of people will go out and visit to places.
Right.
And there's places you can rent or, you know, they'll go to a hotel room.
Can you imagine having a dungeon, even with a locked door, and your kids know you're never allowed to go in there, they're going to try to, they're going to get in there.
Of course, they would be
curious. Oh, yeah, at some point.
So maybe not such a good idea to have a dungeon in your home. Exactly. We're talking kink tonight, all about kink, so we'd love to hear some of your thoughts. 514-800 to text in if you have questions for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. Tonight's night, once a month, we bring them here, and we just focus on this. And I got to say, every week we do get questions, and I get questions even between shows, of course, and they get plenty of questions on their site from newbies or people who don't know, who want to find out more, who have an inkling about but don't know or don't know where to meet and don't know how to broach the subject and don't know what to do about it. So we bring them on just to do that tonight. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions here on Passion. Torture you, take my hand to the flame. I torture you, I'm a slave to your games. I wanna chain you up, I wanna tie you down. I'm just a sucker for pain. She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori. That's the theme song for our kinky segment once a month, Sucker for Pain. Some people like pain. Some people like to inflict pain. And that's all part of kink. And, of course, consensually. Let me just clarify.
But we know you like that song, though.
I do like the song. I like the song.
She sings it all the time. It's being played.
I always like that song. So we were talking about secrecy, discretion, keeping it away from the children. Don't expose your children to all of this. Which, of course, makes perfect sense. Your kids should not be part of your sex life, should not be exposed to your sex life, no matter what your sex life is about. That's between adults, and it's early exposure to children can be traumatic, in fact. It might not make a difference, but it can be traumatic as well.
Yeah, and there's so the nuances of what's happening. If mom is submissive one night and the kids see the mom and they
in a compromising position.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I mean, right. How do you explain that? How do you explain this?
And then
you
say,
try to teach your kid to respect everyone. And right. I mean,
because they won't make the jump from the role play versus
or consensual. Of course
right.
not.
So because their brains aren't yet quite developed, then it can be. You know, just like I'm sure if we speak to people who have just walked in on their parents having sex, never mind kinky sex, and you like it's not something you're bound to forget ever.
Exactly. And you know what? You'll hear they're a teenager. They know all about it. They're having sex. Doesn't mean they need to know about your sex life.
That's right.
Good Lord, who wants to know about their parents' sex life? Creepy.
Right.
You know? And yes, and
it's it's nice to know your parents are active. That's a different story.
Oh, good for them, but we don't need to hear about
it. That's right. You don't need to hear it, and you don't need to hear about it.
Well, it's like one of the rules for my hot tub is, you know, family members are welcome, but they must wear a turtleneck.
A turtleneck?
Oh, at least a turtleneck. I want to see no family member. You know, I mean, otherwise I don't care if you're wearing clothes or not in the hot tub, but if you're a family member, we're all suiting up.
Right, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Exactly. It is, exactly. That's just, I'm very uncomfortable with that, and you can call me uptight or whatever, but I draw my lines, thank you.
We all have our boundaries.
That's it.
We all have our boundaries. Hey, there are plenty of nudist places that entire families go to, and that's fine, but it's not sexual. It's about nudism. It's not
exactly.
But
you know what? That's okay, because that's not kids and sex and family and sex.
Well, it's not sex. It's nudity.
Exactly.
It's nudity. And in Quebec, there's a lot of them.
There's nudist beach in Quebec. I think Oka has a
and
nudist.
You know,
Oka,
I think it'd probably be okay.
Sure, say I believe. There's a few here. Yeah. I talked to actually somebody who had a cottage in one of these places.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was all happy. This guy discovered what I was, and he told me about what he did.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, you like to be naked. It's not sexual, you know.
Right. They just call themselves naturists.
Yep.
Naturists. Exactly.
And then there's a magazine for that. Yeah, so that's...
Oh, sure.
But a lot of people don't understand that. They kind of make the line...
No, that's
they
just
blur the line.
Free.
Right, clothes free, rather than nudity does not equal sexuality.
Exactly.
Even though sexuality often involves nudity, it's not, you know, they're not...
Well, not necessarily if you're kinky.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be naked for that either. 514-800 or 514-790-0800 if you'd like to call in and ask Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle a question. This text writes, sex bracelets, Dr. Lori, you did a show on that. Now, I don't remember, so maybe you could refresh my memory, listener, to let me know what were we talking about, because I'm thinking... either identification bracelets, because we've talked about that together, where you could identify somebody's kink by a bracelet that they
exactly.
wear, like a color or a logo. I know, Pierre, you have a watch that has a, I don't know what the emblem is.
Just the BDSM symbol, and it's like a triskelion.
Okay, so there is a specific symbol. So if you see somebody with a necklace with that or a bracelet with that tattoo of that or whatever,
lots of tattoos of
right,
that.
So you would know that that's what they're...
And there's some more subtle signs. Some people would wear a jewel that mm-hmm. will be a little padlock around their neck.
Oh, and that would signify.
Well, usually it means something.
Okay. Yeah. And then we were talking before, too, off air about people having, like, different colored bracelets mean something.
Yeah. If you go to, certain dungeons or parties or places like that, people will have, like, it could be now what they're dressed in, but it could also be a bracelet, where red is usually dominant, green or pink is usually submissive. And then a yellow is a switch. And then you'll have ones with different kinks. So they may be wearing two bracelets because they mean different things. Mm-hmm. But they're specific, to the dungeon. So usually when you walk in, there's a nice menu so that you can see what everything
is.
What the colors are and the codes. But there are some that are more subtle that I'll always wear. But this
come from the gay community. The gay leather community, where they would wear handkerchief in their back pocket.
So that's the gay leather community.
Yeah.
Yes.
Depending of which pocket it was, which color of the handkerchief, it would mean if they're the dom or submissive. And I think some dungeon for the gay community still use that.
Yeah, and then there's armbands, which can signify different things.
Right.
And it's usually submissive that wears collars, but sometimes it's a dominant,
yeah,
too.
Well,
so you
that's
have to
weird,
be careful
though.
With that.
For us, it's a... kind of a nonsense type of thing, you know. You're dominant, you wear a collar. Hmm?
It doesn't make sense. As a dominant.
No.
Speaking here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that,
Pierre.
Well, I
have a fancy collar.
So if we want to hear from, if you're referring to some other sex bracelet, would love to hear, because my memory is not so good, so I couldn't remember all the shows out of the 5,000 or so shows already done. I really can't. It's not coming up to my recollection. But if you jog my memory, then I'll I'll remember it. Maybe. I don't know if we mentioned this article about OkCupid that did a study of 400,000 of their users. And that's just a dating site, right? And they looked at, imagine, almost 500,000 users. And they found that over 70% of people say they're into some kind of kink. So it's not like we were talking earlier about it being taboo somehow or what. But no, not with 70% of people saying they're into some kind of kink.
Yeah, people, you know what? It's just your everyday person in all walks of life. All sorts of people are kinky. There are so many people think they have a kink dar and they can tell if somebody's kinky. And okay, I admit sometimes I think I have that too. But, you know, it's probably wishful thinking. But you can't tell who's kinky. You know, if you were to meet me, there's nothing that will give you away.
No, nothing.
You know, and nothing. I'm a kinky through and through.
Except when she talks about it. That's like, oh, yeah.
But I'm surprised
you get that sparkle.
Your number are so high because the number we used to study, it was like the Kingsley Institute and stuff like this. It was a lot less than that.
Well, this is modern. This is a recent study. So the the Kinsey study's in the 60s.
I think people have opened up.
Yeah. And especially, unfortunately, I know you hate to hear it, but especially since 50 Shades and all of that has come out, that has had a huge, I think, influence on people trying things or saying they're interested in it. Like, even just the notion of rough sex. We could define that. I don't know
how yeah.
we could define that, but that's part of this kink, right?
Yeah,
so this study found that 75% of women, 75% of men say they enjoy rough sex, and 62% of women say they enjoy rough sex.
Wow.
So
there you go.
I don't know how they defined rough exactly, but nonetheless,
experience is telling me that when we say rough, we could mean that the man is being roughed by the women. You have to.
This is where we don't know.
You have to be careful because we know there's more submissive men than there are submissive women, or actually women.
There's more submissive men than women?
Yep.
You would think it would be the opposite.
I think there's lots of submissive women, but I think they're less out there.
Or they may be submissive in real life, not in the bedroom.
Yes, that's very likely because it's often the opposite. It's often people who are really outgoing and really, you know, the go-getter and dominance that want to, you know, they want to basically sit back and be the baby.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a
literal sense.
Thank you.
Right. But they want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. It's a pampering to a certain extent.
There's that thing we call surrendering, you know, to give away completely.
Yes, I think that's the word. They want to just be able to surrender all control.
Yep.
We are talking kink tonight. We'd love to hear some of your thoughts. 514-800 here on Passion.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, it's all about kink. We've got Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com here, just looking at a study of 400,000 OkCupid users. It's just a dating website that found over 70% of people say they're into some kind of kink. Texter writes, "Hi, Dr. Lori, is having sex in your car backseat considered kink? I recently did it with a girl I'm now dating and find that I love it instead of doing it at home in the bedroom." I think that if I can answer some of that, the kinky part of that is the potential of exposure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the kink is the exhibitionism that's involved in the backseat of a car.
Actually, and not the exhibitionism.
The taboo of, oh, I might get caught.
I might get caught. Because probably if they work to be caught, they will not find this as pleasant. But the possibility of is pleasant.
So I'm going to ask you a question. If your car was parked in your garage with the door closed and you were having sex in the backseat of that car, would it have the same impact as you being up on Mount Royal having sex in the parking lot in the backseat of the car? So that would determine the kink. It's not the car. It's the potential of exposure.
Have you been to drive-in lately?
A drive-in movie? You know, there's only one in Montreal, like, or close by, in Saint-Eustache, right?
Go
no,
there.
It's been a while since I've been.
Okay, go there and don't watch the movie. Watch the cars.
What, they're all moving? Now you remind me of Betty and Veronica, the Archie comics. You know?
Well, actually, it's kind of like this. It's kind
or
of
Grease,
like
a... the movie Grease.
Yeah.
So, that's an interesting question. That's actually a very interesting question. And maybe ask yourself, what is it about it? What is it about it? You know, is it the fear
of being caught?
The fear of being caught. The excitement, rather, of that it's taboo being caught. Because I find that
it could be
horribly uncomfortable.
Changing it up might be nice, you know, if they're
maybe
you know maybe it's the idea of you know the passion overtook them and that was part of the role play or you know you couldn't wait till you got home. It was so great, you know.
The only thing is. The car from our youth were much bigger than the one.
Well, they had longer seats, right? Now we have bucket seats in the back, and it's like a whole lot, right? It's very different than the seats. The big cars had the front seat. You could hold four people,
and if you had an older car, it didn't have safety belts. That's how old I am. As I remember when they didn't have safety belts, so you didn't have anything sticking in your side.
That's true.
I'm just saying, I would ever know.
But that is interesting. And another texter writes, I agree that sometimes doing things a little different is a good idea. However, with kids and a job, I find that it would take too much time and energy and hiding equipment, etc. Seems like an impossibility. But people make it happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But this is interesting because a lot of older couples go back to their BDSM stuff like this after the kids are older.
After they move out.
That's when
they hang the swing from their bedroom.
Yes.
Exactly.
Ceiling. When the kids move out and they're not saying, why is there a really big hook on top of your bed?
Well, you know what? And you can also do things that are pretty discreet. You can have furniture that is what we call pervertible, which is it can convert.
Into perverted things.
You have that beautiful wicker reading swing in your bedroom that hangs from the ceiling, but is, you know, it's like, you know, rather than have one that looks like a sex swing, you can get one that looks like a wicker swing, and, oh, that's where, you know, your mom likes to read.
Actually, our sex swings is an old hammock.
An old hammock, really?
Yeah.
That you made into a sex swing? I mean, because now they're pretty fancy, the ones that
yeah,
are being
well, this
sold.
Is actually really good because it's washable. Yeah. I dyed it black years ago, and it's washable. And because it's like the rope,
mm-hmm.
right, I can hook up to it in different ways. And it's actually works really well.
So it's a DIY sex swing. Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I bet you if you put that on the internet as a DIY project, you'd get a lot of hits.
Actually, that's a problem. We have so many ideas for article that we don't have time to do them all. Yeah,
and I think this is, you know, what this person is saying. It's like, it takes so much time and energy. I have a job. I have kids. It's like...
homework.
Oh, you know what, though? There's lots of, you know... Get out your old wooden spoon, and you know when the kids go off to grandma's, you know.
So there are things. I think that's a good point. First of all, you don't have to have all kinds of equipment. You can use silk scarves.
Yes,
absolutely.
You don't need to have handcuffs in the house.
Old ties.
You can, you know, blindfolds. I mean, there are things that you can use that are in your everyday.
Exactly.
That can turn into something kinky
exactly.
or different. Right?
This is what we call pervertible.
You'll never look at the fly swatter the same way again.
The fly swatter, yes.
Well, hopefully a brand new fly swatter. But
no, don't use one that's been used for its purpose. No, yeah, you're right.
So there are a couple more things on this study. So there was another published study from the Journal of Sex Research that found that nearly 50% of adults have, unconventional sex fantasies and desires. So unconventional,
mm-hmm.
so they are looking to... They have the desire to, they have the fantasy to. It doesn't mean they all act them out, but somewhere there's some desire. So here is the ranking of what was found to be at the top of the list. Spanking was the top of the list.
Everybody likes spanking.
70% of women and 61% of men love getting spanked during sex. Nipple play. Both men and women also agree that nipple play is a great way to get more adventurous. That's according to the survey, about 61% of men and 58% of women say they regularly engage in nipple play. So men enjoy that too. Just saying. Tying each other up. This was more of a winner for women. It was high on the list for women, 57% saying they enjoy it.
Yep.
Keep it.
Blindfold. So these are also the nipple play, tying up, blindfold, spanking. These are things that don't require equipment.
Nope.
No.
You know?
Just imagination.
And exactly. The last one, which I thought was maybe a bit surprising, probably not to you, is biting. About 55% of women and 44% of men say they enjoy biting during sex. Mm-hmm. That can leave a mark.
Well,
it depends on how hard and where you bite.
And where you bite. You do, actually. If,
you know, the human mouth is pretty dirty. So if you're going to break skin, then we're talking actually some rather serious play. Because if you ever break skin, right, in passion, the human mouth is very, very dirty. And you need to put, like...
antiseptic.
Serious antiseptic.
All right. Well, that's
usually when you do biting is you just do it for the sensation, but you stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't draw blood.
Yeah. And I think that's just a general rule that, you know, don't play where you're drawing blood. Like, to me, that just doesn't make sense. You're shaking your head. Oh, because there's certain play. That
well, there's
about
blood play,
blood.
But that's something.
You know what? Know your risk and minimize it, whatever you do.
Yeah. Right. Well said.
Get informed. Get informed.
Exactly.
You don't need to do this too lightly.
That sounds like you said get a uniform, and that's a whole other thing.
Not get uniform. Guys, thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you.
We'll see you in the month of July. Thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank our Montreal audience and our Newfoundland audience as well. I want to thank our technical producer, Brian Calasar, and thank all of you for your texts and for listening. If you want to be in touch with me, you can through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At Dr. Lori Betito. My last name is spelled B-E-T-I-T-O. You can also do all of that through my website at drlori.com. We'll be in touch again tomorrow evening. Right now, stay tuned for The Comedy Show with your host, Joey Elias. Have a wonderful rest of the evening, and please remember to fill your life with passion.